Andrews lands in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this homecoming preview edition, this Northern Iowa preview edition of the Bison Report Radio Podcast. I am your host, Ross Uglum, publisher of the Bison Report at 24/7 Sports. And you know what? Joining me right now is Big Trev, Trevor Gebhardt, our lead football analyst. Trev, how are we doing, buddy?
Ross, I'm not battling a storm. My softball team's on a win streak. Life is dandy down here, and I'm rubbing it in your face.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming like a freight train. A lot of folks, we're recording this at about 10 o'clock at night, which is actually 11 for Trev, which just shows you the level of commitment here. But we are trying. Well, yeah, it's, you know, it was 70 and sunny on Tuesday, so naturally there's a blizzard coming Thursday night and Friday, and so that's kind of the first thing that we're going to hit. And I know I told everybody on the last show that we were going to have Nate in here to talk some hoops, and Bison hoops is exciting. We are going to definitely cover them as we have in the past, but we were able to get some big time interviews, including, I would say, probably the big time interview, in that I sat down and talked to QB1, to Trey Lance. I think it was probably his first one-on-one sit-down interview, period, because they were made available as a triumvirate at Media Day. Noah, Zeb, and Trey just took questions from the assembled media. So I think there's a chance it was the first Trey Lance interview. You guys can check that out if you're VIP members over at Bison Report. Check out the video. But we're going to go ahead and replay the audio portion of that for you guys, because it's important for us to give the people what they want. Plus, we've got my guy, Merck. Aaron Mercadell is he would have been a senior, but he's going to be a junior linebacker because the NCAA granted his waiver. So he's got 2 years left in the program. First year as a starter, blew out his knee, came back, was basically a coach. And we talked about this a little bit, but he was basically a coach in 2018. And now as you're starting Will Backer, rotating a little bit with James Kaiser when they're playing against spread teams. But I really had a fun conversation with Merck as well. So it's really going to be difficult, or would have been difficult for us to run the Merck interview for you guys, run the Trey interview for you guys, properly break down you and I, and talked a bunch of Bison hoops without doing like an hour and 45 minute podcast, which just absolutely nobody has time for. So that's a deal. We're going to grab Nate next week. No big deal. Let's hit the news real quick before we get into the Mercadell interview. Number one, weather is coming in. I don't know if you guys have seen the Frankie McDonald videos, but as my guy Frankie would say, be prepared. You need to remember how to drive when it's icy. Don't take unnecessary trips. Just be safe. It's very important. Drive slow. I can't tell you how many times on the first bad weather of the year I've seen, accidents at intersections, and everybody just needs to remember to drive slow. The second thing is they've seen the weather coming and the homecoming parade is canceled. Something that I always remember as a kid, because it was before the game. So it was just kind of part of the day. Both of my parents were in the Greek system at North Dakota State. Dad was an ATO, mom was a Kappa Delta, so we had to do all of that. I mean, I was really thinking about, honestly, was catching the candy. That's where my head was at. But I remember the homecoming parade as being a huge part of everything. Now it's downtown on Friday night. Now it's not downtown on Friday night because that baby's canceled. Just a general reminder, just a friendly reminder to those that like to go a little hard on Friday night. This is the 1 o'clock kickoff, folks. Remember, get out of bed. You need to get to the tailgating lot a little bit earlier. It's not the 2:30 kick. This is the 1 o'clock kickoff. So if you are one of those folks that's actually there, at the beginning, which is 5 hours before game time, little kegs, little eggs, get the bacon going, maybe get the griddle out, get some tailgate pancakes going, because this is the 1 o'clock kickoff. Like I said a little bit before, we have an awesome interview with North Dakota State junior linebacker Aaron Mercadell, and we're going to play that for you right now. Here with North Dakota State junior linebacker Aaron Mercadell. Mark, how are we doing?
Pretty good.
So you have kind of an interesting story, and I want to start last year. I think people have kind of heard the story of your recruitment or how in the world they got a linebacker from Oakland to come to Fargo, but last year, any thoughts of just going into coaching or maybe not coming back for that? I mean, how does that, like, what happened? How'd you get hurt? And how does that mentally affect you?
So I got hurt. I tore my ACL. It happened second to last week or last week of fall camp, prepping for the first game. So definitely close to the end, just a regular everyday kickoff drill that we do, made a cut and kind of just went down, got back up. After it got checked out, nothing seemed to be immediately wrong, so got back up, kind of jogged around just to make sure, got it looked at after practice, still like, if it's anything, it'll be a meniscus maybe, so feeling confident because I know that's not a season-ending injury, so I was like, I'll be playing this year, so I'll fine. Had high hopes and positive spirits, and then a couple of days later, I guess I got my MRI results, and it was not good, so that was kind of heartbreaking. Called my mom, and like, all I could do was by the time she answered the FaceTime call, I was just crying, and she already knew something. She was expecting the results too, so she knew that call was that, so she just couldn't do anything, just be like, damn. And then we were going to a walkthrough, I think, so after I got off the phone, my mom went straight to walkthrough. All the coaches, of course, just giving me positive words and stuff, and then Coach Kleiman telling me, we want to travel you still with the rest of the team. You'll be able to travel the rest of the games. We want to keep you around just because we think your leadership is important to a lot of young guys that are traveling with us, and we want you there. So that was real big. So that kind of put me back into a positive mindset. And Mark Stump happened to be the backup Will with me being gone. So I just kind of put all my effort into him. And that kind of kept me focused and kept me on the right track and just kept me from getting into that hole, because talking to guys that had injuries that take you out of a game that you love to play, just telling me how it's easy to get into that dark hole and just hard to come out of it too. Once you get in that dark space, it's just like, what's the point? I'm not playing, you know, just getting into all those negative thoughts. So I think Mark helped me stay positive and just helped me stay in the film, helped me stay and just be engaged. And then the coaches keep me on the sideline with the headsets on and just being there on the game and seeing things that they might not see and helping guys out. It kind of just helped me. And then with that happening, the coaches definitely suggested, I think you'd be a great coach one day. And I've thought about it. It's something that I think could work out, you know, just being around football, just being able to, I like the aspect of mentoring young men. I've mentored in my life just younger adults, so being a man and being able to mentor college students and help them do something beyond football and just making sure they're doing the right thing, which is what a coach is to us, father figures and things like that. So it's not something that I wouldn't shy away from.
So did that make you, do you feel like you're a better player because you spent a whole year, I mean, of course, you'd rather been in the weight room with Kramer. You would have rather been getting maybe reps on specials or reps, you know, as a second teamer. But did an entire year of doing nothing but classroom, film, and just teaching and coaching, did it make you a better player?
I definitely think it did. For one, that was a humbling experience. And, you know, just to – it keeps you humble. And just to know now that I'm playing and starting that it could all be taken away like that, that's, like, the biggest important thing to me. So every rep counts, you know, just keeping that mindset. I can't dwell on the past, I can't dwell on the last play because this might be my last play. So, you know, things like that, that's definitely helped me. And then I just think that sitting out that year and doing rehab, I think rehab is probably one of the biggest things that go unlooked. When you're doing rehab, you're alone. Like, no one's there to watch you, tell you you have to do it, you know. So me being in the dome by myself and just running gassers back and forth and seeing if I can get to 100%, I could say I'm done. I could say I did all, however many Bobby tells me to do, I could say I'm done. But it's just having that determination that, no, I want to be back healthy. I want to be 100%. This is all on me, and it's all on you how you come back because of the rehab process. So I think that made me a better player, just accountability for myself. On days, there's days that you just don't want to do it, but it's like, if I want to play next year, I have to do it. So I think that was the biggest thing for me because that made me a better person in general, just being able to push through all adversity and do the right thing.
Yeah, I'm sure you were happy that not a bunch of guys got hurt, but I remember like the year Dylan and Greg got hurt, they had each other. There was a rehab group.
Yeah.
The team stayed relatively healthy last year, so you didn't probably have that same rehab support system. So let's fast forward a little bit and get into the summer after you've been. Because were you held out of spring mostly?
Yeah, I was only able to do like individual.
Okay.
I felt great and felt like I should be doing stuff.
No reason to rush.
It just wasn't anybody. At the 9 month mark, so 9 month would have been the clearing, which happened the week after the spring game.
Sure. So let's fast forward then. Fall camp, you're allowed to hit somebody. What was that like? What was that first pop coming back?
I mean, just happy. I mean, first day.
Who'd you hit?
I don't even remember.
Okay.
I can't remember. But just the first two practices, I got pick six 2 days back-to-back. I mean, just that was just like the most exciting feeling, just being able to run around, catch the ball and everything. We weren't even in pads yet, but, you know, just running and competing. I mean, that was probably the biggest thing. I mean, just being on the field with my teammates, there's so many times where we just called anything, and it was just like – I was just watching everybody run out there, so just hearing anything, they could have been saying fourth team, but if I was running on the field with pads on, I was happy. So it was just the fact of being on the field with my teammates, being able to work with my teammates all summer, that was the biggest thing. Just I got tired of watching guys working me standing on the side. So, yeah.
Did you kind of get installed as the starter at your spot, or was there a competition? Because you're Will, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so was there a competition for the Will spot? Because somebody had to have been playing it in spring.
I'm trying to think who was there. I think Mark might have been the starting Will. I know Jabril took a lot of reps there too because
we like to
move him around. So
yep.
Jabril there, but I mean when fall camp, yes, the starting was definitely me, Jabril, and Hanky. I would like to say it was a competition. I don't think it was handed to me in any way just because of my age. I knew I still had to prove that I could play.
Sure.
It doesn't matter that you've been here 5 years. If you can't play on Saturdays, then you can't play. And I love that's the way we do things here. Age, none of those things matter. If you're a true freshman and you understand the things and you can handle the adversity and play in our big-time game situations that we have, you'll play. So I feel like I was in competition. I never took a day off easily thinking the job was handed to me. And even still now, I'm still proving that I can play. Just because I'm old and will be here a while doesn't mean it's the job's given.
What was that? Because I would assume then that your first, you know, you've been on teams in the past and probably as a starter on teams, but your first snap as a starter, as the man at your spot, was in a Target Field in front of like 35,000 people.
Yeah.
So describe that. Describe running out of the dugout, taking that first, because I think North Dakota State took the ball, so
we didn't take the first.
Normally you defer, and you'd be kind of that coat green usually comes out on the field first. But what was that whole experience like?
Just knowing, going out pregame and seeing what the setup was like, and just like, well, this is going to be ecstatic once it starts. Knowing that our Bison fans, and I mean, just hearing the ticket requests from teammates that are from Minnesota, you know, I think Zach Johnson's mom probably had 80 tickets or something, you know, just the support that our teammates that are from Minnesota had, and just knowing all those people are there to see us, and then just having that first drive and calling whatever personnel and I'm in the game was just huge, and just knowing that everything you've worked for is this moment right now, like everything, it didn't go to waste, you know, those days of rehab when you're alone, they didn't go to waste, days in the summertime working your hardest, they didn't go to waste, you know, so I think that was the biggest thing, just being rewarded for the work you put in.
Where does James Robinson rank on guys you've had to try to tackle?
Oh, he's a big back, aggressive. I think his best asset is that he's great at the point of attack. So right when you're about to hit him is when he makes his move. So he's very patient, I would say, in just his reaction time. He slipped a couple guys a few times, and just being able to make those small jump cuts because the hole was there at the last second. It wasn't there when I initially ran into it, but at the last second it was there, so he was able to jump cut and things like that. So definitely give him credit. Probably think one of the better backs that we'll see this year. So having him early on definitely prepare us for other backs we'll see this year.
How are you? I would assume that, you know, you're a competitor and that you would love to play all 70 snaps, but how's the relationship with you and James Kayser? Because he sometimes against a spread team or maybe third down and eight or more is coming and I think spelling you specifically in passing situations. So have you been able to teach him a little bit about the position?
So
What have you seen from James? Because he's a talented kid.
Yeah, definitely. I would say just kind of like Jimmy was, you know, some years back. He's becoming that Swiss Army and just being a jack of all trades and smart guy so he can learn it. But like in practice, we'll stack each other. Either I'll be in and he'll kind of be right behind me just seeing how I play it and things like that just so he can understand. Because, I mean, it's the same exact thing that we're doing. It's just we expect pass, so we'll put him in. But it's still the wheel position, so he learns a lot. But he's a fast learner and definitely aggressive kid, so it's not hard for him to be down there in the box, which is good. So I'm excited for him.
What have you seen from Northern Iowa on film? Because I would say, and obviously, you know, you were more in a coaching role than a teammate role. I would say defensively, the game in Northern Iowa last year did not go as planned. That was a shootout, which is not something that North Dakota State usually gets into. So what are you guys expecting from the Panthers?
I mean, they're always there. We would consider them one of our rivals for sure. Always get their best game. And, I mean, they have true RPO game, which we haven't seen yet this year. Truly riding the ball out and throwing at the less them. So it'll take some discipline and some patience, which will slow the defense down. We're used to playing, you know, playing real fast and things like that. So things like that will slow us down and make us more patient. But I think their quarterback's real athletic. Running backs move. They have some talented receivers that we can't let loose, you know, that make big plays for them. That we've seen on film, they made some big explosive plays. So, I mean, it'll be come down to the fundamentals, but it'll take all three phases of our defense from the front line to the back seven. So,
finish this sentence. North Dakota State wins on Saturday if
we do what we're supposed to.
All right. Thanks, man.
Hey, we want to thank the North Dakota State Sports Information Department for making Merck available. We want to, of course, thank Aaron for his time. That was a really cool chat. I enjoyed kind of the story of just how difficult that was for him, you know, thinking that there wasn't much there, thinking maybe it was a meniscus, and then just getting that news and how crushing it was, and then working and working and working back. And now, like I said, a starter for, in my opinion, the top defense in the country. Just an awesome, awesome story. So, Trev, before we really get into the game, I think part of what people really enjoy is listening to you tell stories. You're a great storyteller. And when you played, I would say the UNI rivalry was a lot hotter, because basically since that game in Cedar Falls that you don't like to talk about, but we're going to talk about, this has been a North Dakota State dominated discussion. You know, UNI hasn't won in a while. They are the former kind of ass kickers that are now getting their ass kicked. And that's been sort of a downward slide, honestly, since David Johnson retired. Not that he was the whole team, but they haven't been able to get back to that level. So, Trev, first, you know what? I'm not going to tell you first. You do what you want. You tell me whether you'd like to talk about your least favorite UNI experience or your favorite UNI experience first, but you have the floor.
The Northern Iowa game every year that I played. So in 2010, that was the infamous negative 40 yards rushing game. Thankfully, I was not suited up that day. I was in Fargo in my dorm room as a redshirt freshman. So obviously that memory of playing UNI, bad memory, didn't come back up until 2014, thankfully. But I'm not going to touch too much on that, because you take that away, our win streak is extended a lot further than it became. Even though 33, I'm getting a little picky if I'm complaining about having a 33-game win streak ended. But 2011, I remember that being a big showdown at the Fargo Dome. Obviously, we came out on top, and that was the same weekend that I want to say – App State lost to Georgia Southern. And so we became ranked number one for the first time that following week. So that was a pretty significant win. 2012, I personally had a really good game. Part of my claim to fame is a guy named Chris Kleiman told me that I was the best player on the field that day. And a guy that now plays for the Arizona Cardinals was on the field. So I'm pretty proud of that as far as an athletic accomplishment goes. 2013, obviously, we had the comeback, the one-point win. That was our closest game in 2013 in the undefeated season. It was a very hard-fought battle. I remember like not being able to move for about a full day after that one. And then in 2014, which everybody knows what happened there, the worst loss of my college career. We'll move on from there. But it just seems like every time we played the Panthers, something significant happened. So, like you mentioned before, prefacing it there, Ross. Those guys and us, the rivalry was alive and well during those 4 years. It seems to be a little bit more one-sided outside of the 2015 game where it was a nitty-gritty game, and then you had the now famous Carson Wentz to Darius Shepherd pass to NFL guys. And the other results haven't been as exciting, so we'll see what Saturday provides. I'm on more on the side of the fence of more recent history of where it's been more NDSU dominated.
Yeah, so is Vegas.
Don't surprise me at all, and you'll hear it in my score prediction. I think I might surprise you with it. I don't know. For me personally, it was a little bit more of a heated rivalry, and so every time we go to play you and I, in my brain, when I think of playing the Panthers, it was always like you had to be on your P's and Q's, and one wrong thing could change the game completely. Now it seems like, and yes, you can make a few mistakes and still win by three scores. So that's kind of where I'm at with it. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because I think it's still a rivalry. There are guys on that staff, a.k.a. the head man in Cedar Falls, that still remembers when they were the big dogs, and I don't think that sits well with that individual. So his team, in their mind, will come in with that approach, and I guess – we'll let the play on the field speak for itself.
Yeah, for sure. And we want to just dive right in here because we're going to break down the game after this. And like I said, both the Mercadal interview and the Trey interview are up on BRTV. They're up on Bison Report. We had a fantastic content week for you guys again, but this is the Trey Lance interview that is, and we did a little something extra. I mean, we were cutting in highlights, and that Trey video is sick, and that's why it was, preserved for our VIP members, but you're going to get to hear the interview here. So here is the Trey Lance interview with myself, talking a little bit about competing with Zeb, talking about learning from Easton, talking about his debut at Target Field as a Minnesota native. And I'm talking a little bit about this matchup with you and I as well. So I hope you guys enjoy it.
All right, here with Bison freshman quarterback Trey Lance. Trey, how are we doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So I want to kind of start by going back in time, and I want to get kind of a grasp on what last year was like for you, because it was similar in some ways to like Easton's freshman year. Now, Easton couldn't play, you know, he didn't have, the four game rule wasn't a thing, but he, unlike a lot of guys, was able to travel, and he was always with Carson and Cole, and that was something that they also did with you. You traveled to all the road games. So how much did you learn from Easton and even from guys like Shep and Dallas and guys that were part of the passing offense?
Yeah, it was huge. I think that was, I've said it before, but practices I think were even bigger than, you know, the whole traveling and the game experiences. Obviously, the four-game rule is huge. I'd like to think that maybe I wouldn't have taken practices for granted, you know, even if I didn't have the rule. But having those four games definitely changed my mindset. You know, like, I need to be ready, you know, in case something happened, or, you know, in case I do get that opportunity. And obviously, like, North Alabama, the first game, you know, I had the bye week before to prepare for it. And, you know, going back to traveling and all that, just getting to spend time with Easton, Shep, Dallas, Bruce, Lance. I mean, I could keep going down the list, you know, every position. Offensively and defensively, just getting to spend time around those guys, see how they prepare, how they handle themselves on road games and on home games, you know, just treating it as a business trip, you know, just their maturity, which is tough to match, you know, just going back and thinking about some of the stuff that they did, you know, some of the sacrifices that they made just to be locked in and to treat this, you know, to show how important this is to them. So I think I just learned a ton from them. Super thankful, obviously, for Easton and everything he's done for me and continues to do for me. It's still a huge part of preparation and everything for me. So, yeah, just super thankful for him and the rest of the older guys.
You guys still keep in communication and chat every once in a while about stuff that he's seeing or even what his experience is like out in L.A.?
Yeah, absolutely. It's fun to get back and talk to him. You know, I FaceTime and see palm trees in the background, which is frustrating at times. Yeah, definitely. But, no, he's awesome, been awesome for me. You know, last year and even this year when, you know, he's got a lot bigger things going on, it may seem like. But, you know, he's always willing to take the time to help me out, asking me questions about the game plan on Friday, stuff like that. It's just a lot of fun to be able to keep in touch with him.
One thing I think, and you sort of mentioned it, is just your maturity level, and I think that's a little bit striking for folks because you're just a freshman. You know, you're a second-year freshman. You're just a freshman. And it shows, I think, somewhat on the stat sheet with the lack of turnovers. That's something that I think a lot of folks would pin on a freshman or expect from a freshman. Is sure, there'll be good plays, but there'll be some head scratchers. And you seem to be avoiding the head scratchers. Who do you attribute that to? Is that preparation? Is that Coach Hedberg? How are you guys able to just hold on to the ball the way that you have been?
I think going back all the way to Coach Mess, even, just how much he emphasized holding on to the ball means everything. But obviously Coach Roll does a great job with play calling and making sure I'm comfortable with everything, along with Coach Hedberg, just making sure I'm comfortable with everything going into the game plan. So I think that helps a lot, you know, and I know I'm confident in what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing leading up to the week. And also Easton, obviously, just how he emphasized, you know, how important it was. Turnovers can win and lose games. He always went back to the South Dakota State game in 2017. How, you know, like, we don't turn the ball over that many times, you know, we have a chance to win that game in the regular season. So just stuff like that that I learned from him and all the older guys, just giving me the confidence, you know, just Coach Rolls reminds me that, you know, how many great players I have around me. So that's, you know, a big weight off my shoulders knowing, you know, I don't have to do too much. I just do my job, and I know everyone else will too.
You think you are a better player because they brought in Zeb to compete with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know where I'd be without. I mean, just the amount of growth that we've had as a room, I think, from, you know, January last year till now is incredible to me. Obviously, we miss Holden now, but Holden also helped me get a lot better, and along with Noah. But I can't say it enough how thankful I am for them now, just how they handle everything. You know, they're in here every morning with me watching film, going through the game plan. Just getting extra work in after practice, regardless of what it is. You know, they're always willing to help me out, and we wouldn't be winning games like this without them.
Sure. You get the announcement. The announcement comes, you're going to be the guy. How awesome. You're a Marshall kid, which is, you know, not the Twin Cities, but it does take a ton of time to get there. How cool was it to take your first snap? And, that, you know, normally North Dakota State would defer, but you guys, you know, kind of went out and took the bull by the horns in that game. How cool was it to take your first snap in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, in front of 35,000 people?
Yeah, it was crazy. I think I just remember just when we got to the stadium, just kind of standing in the middle of the field, just looking around, and it was insane. You know, the big stadium. Obviously, never played in a crowd in front of a crowd that big. Never played in a game, you know, that important, or anywhere near it, really, you know, in my life. So a game that mattered to that many people. So it was really cool for me. Obviously, being from Minnesota, I had a lot of family and friends there, so it was good to see them and, you know, have them be able to watch me play, and just getting that opportunity to compete with my guys was a lot of fun.
Describe your relationship with Phoenix. I think it's something that a lot of guys have had with you know, Brock Jensen and Zach Braugh, Carson Wentz and his receivers. He had a number of guys, but like Easton and RJ, which of course then eventually became RJ and Shep, but you're roommates with Phoenix, and I would assume that, you know, you guys get in plenty of work that isn't practice and stuff like that. How important is it to not necessarily just be friends with your teammates or be friends with your wide receivers, but to kind of build that bond where you know exactly where he's going to be?
It's been a lot of fun just getting to know those guys. And being on the same page with Phoenix, obviously, you know, just going through stuff back home when we're at home, maybe at night after practice, if one of us didn't have a good practice or one of us did, you know, just being able to talk through some of this stuff, just making sure we're on the same page. So it's kind of a easy way to, you know, communicate with the receiver room just through him a lot of the time. And he's also had to step up a lot and, you know, have a big leadership role after we lost, you know, Shep and Dallas last year, along with the other guys. But I mean, he's a sophomore. He's 19 years old, and he's leading the receivers. I think he's done a great job of it. Him, Christian, Zach, I mean, Andy, Voyen, you know, guys that you don't hear their names. But it's just been super fun to work with them. Super hungry group, young and very talented. And I think, you know, we're just beginning to scratch the surface of, you know, what they can do. But it's been a ton of fun being able to work with him. You know, he's super hungry, super talented. And, you know, I think it's just shows how much I trust those guys. You know, they always come ready to work every day, and they're prepared. So whoever does get that opportunity in the game on Saturday, I trust all those guys to catch the ball and make plays.
And that's something I think that we saw a little bit against Illinois State is just how scary Christian can be. I mean, that's a dude. There are a lot of corners in the Valley that are even capable of taking him down on the first shot. Do you ever get the sense of wanting to get a little bit ahead of yourself in that these kids are so talented and the running game is certainly important and it has always been important with Bison football, but you have some really, really talented pass catchers and they're young, and does it ever feel like you kind of aren't maybe doing everything you could be doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I don't think we've had a game yet where I came off the field and I was like, you know, we used everything. I think we had a lot after every single game where I was like, man, we left a lot of plays out there. You know, whether it was me, well, most of the time it was me. You know, I feel like I left a lot of plays out there. But it's a good thing. I think that I'm hard on myself and the receivers are too. You know, if they don't catch a ball, I know UC Davis, right? I threw a couple balls that were not good balls. And you know, Phoenix was upset that he didn't catch them when it wasn't on him. You know, to him, obviously, you know, he thinks if it hits a hand, he should catch it. But, you know, to me, I know I'm better than that, and I got to be better than that. So it's just super fun to work with those guys. And, yeah, it's just fun. Those guys are hungry. And, obviously, Christian, super talented dude. Fun to work with, super hungry. Always getting extra work after practice. You know, yards after catch is a big thing we emphasize. And he's been doing it a lot this year, so it's fun to work with him.
I want to ask you a little bit about that UC Davis game, and the reason I want to ask you about that game is because not necessarily that they were easy opponents, but you guys kind of got whatever you wanted those first three games offensively. You were at least scoring in the high 30s, if not, you know, beyond that. And then I think you would agree that the Davis game as an offense did not necessarily go to plan. Always more fun to learn lessons than a win than it is to lose
Absolutely.
The game. But how big was it for you guys to kind of take some film that wasn't so great and build off of, okay, these are some of the things that we missed, as opposed to maybe if you would have just blown them out?
Yeah, I think that's huge. Obviously, going into the week, that wasn't the plan, you know, to have a close game and battle some adversity, but I'm really glad we did now, you know, looking back at it, because I think it's going to help us, you know, going forward. We're not going to play our best game every game, but we definitely learned a lot from it, things we need to do. I learned a lot from it personally, and I feel like I was more prepared going into Illinois State than maybe I was for UC Davis. Just some of the little details, stuff like that, little missed throws, footwork stuff that I, you know, I needed to work on, and maybe I was able to be lazy with it the first 3 weeks. But obviously, UC Davis, you know, they were a good team, and you know, when I started making mistakes, you know, I just got a next play mentality. That's a big thing that Coach Roll emphasizes too. But yeah, I think we learned a lot from it as a young group. But I'm super glad we came out the win.
Yeah, because you know, at some point you might turn the ball over. So that that next play mentality, the short, you know, I talk about it with cornerbacks too. They have to have a short memory.
Yep.
Quarterbacks, yep. Also certainly have to have a short memory. Last year, that game against Northern Iowa, which was probably not something Coach Green was very happy with, but that turned into an absolute shootout. They seem to be quite a bit better defensively this season. I'm not saying you won't be able to score, but I think the game might have ended in the 50s for North Dakota State mm-hmm. down in Cedar Falls. What have they shown you on film, or maybe it's just the maturation of their personnel, but why are they a little bit more successful defensively this season?
I think just some of the schemes they played against maybe a little bit different than what we've done. You know, Iowa State obviously throws the ball a little more than we do typically, but they're very talented. You know, true freshman starting at corner from Minneapolis. You know, he's a really talented kid. I think their secondary is very talented up front. You know, their front six or seven, they're deep. They're big guys, big bodies, and I think they do their job really well. They're very confident in what they're doing. You know, on film, they do their job. You don't see a whole lot of busted coverages or things like that. So we're definitely going to be ready to play. But obviously, you know, with everything, we're going to have a good game plan going into it. Looking forward to the opportunity.
You were named the newcomer of the week. I made a joke earlier in the season that they might end up naming that thing after you, but by the time this season's over. But I would say that, especially for a freshman, your level of success personally and offensively as a group is borderline unprecedented. How do you stay humble? How do you continuously look for things to improve on when the grade on the field, when the results on the field have been so excellent?
I think there's a lot of things, maybe even you realize that, you know, a lot of fans don't realize, just little mistakes that I made. that, you know, a lot of people think might be the right decision or something, but, you know, I think I could do better. And the whole awards thing, I don't think there's anyone in our program that's ever been concerned with that. Obviously, learned a lot from Easton about that, and Shep, you know, everything that they won. You know, it's, we're worried about winning games here, winning championships. You know, that's what I came here to do, not win awards or anything like that.
Last one. Finish this sentence. North Dakota State wins on Saturday if...
we take care of the ball.
We want to thank the North Dakota State Sports Information Department. Hey, that's not easy to do. A lot of people want to talk to the quarterback every week, and for them to give me, you know, 10, 12, 15 minutes of his time was awesome. We really appreciate Ryan Peralt and all the guys that make things happen so that, you know, we can produce this kind of stuff for the you, the fans. I had a great time doing, and I thought it was really insightful, and Trey is he's pretty put together for a freshman. I think that goes without saying on and off the field. Let's dive in, Trev. This is kind of an interesting thing, I think. And a guy, I don't know how many times you've had a chance to watch you and I play, maybe just the Iowa State game, maybe a little bit more, I don't know. But I think it's interesting that the winner of this four-way competition at quarterback ended up being Will McIlvain, who's a redshirt freshman, a walk-on, listed at 5'11", 197, which probably means he's about 5'9 and a half and a buck 85. But he's scrappy, man. What do you think of Will McIlvain?
He's very athletic. And I think I haven't seen really a lot of the kid. I mean, I started watching part of their game against Iowa State, obviously when they were keeping it close. And then I've seen a few clips here and there through Twitter and various media outlets. It's really to the extent where I've seen his play, but scrappy is probably the best way to encompass his play. He's a tough kid. He's very athletic. He's going to extend plays. And the kid's got he has a heart of a winner. And you can tell that with the tenacity that he runs. And he just wants to do everything that he can to help his team. So, which I find interesting because they kind of came out the gates hot. It seems like these last few weeks, they're not putting points up at the board, but you go look at their red zone conversion, they're scoring, but they're 50% on touchdowns, which I think is attributed to the youth of McIlvain. So I think he's got time to develop to improve that, obviously, having 3 more years of eligibility after this. But this is a kid that could surprise you a little bit, especially being a redshirt freshman. And usually with guys like that, that win a job kind of out of nowhere, believe in themselves to an extent that a lot of people don't. So I have every reason to believe that this kid has a lot of confidence. And in his mind, he has probably envisioned himself winning in the Fargo Dome multiple times already. So I don't think this kid will have a bad game by any means. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how he stacks up against a defense that's pretty – dang impressive themselves.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, even maybe more than Iowa State, this is a big test. Yeah, there were 65,000 people or whatever at Jack Trice, but this is 20,000 people. And they all have one one spot and one roof and are all just in a circle around you with extremely steep seating. This, you know, people think that just because there's 60,000 people in the place, it's louder than the Fargo Dome. That's not really how it works. It's not how acoustics work. It's not how environments work. Jack Trice is a very laid out, sprawling stadium. I don't even think it's a complete circle. Like, I think there's still grassy areas at Jack Trice, or at least there was when you guys won down there. And it's I think the Fargo Dome, honestly, is probably a more intimidating place, especially on homecoming Saturday. So we're going to see a lot of what this McIlvain kid is made of. You know, you couldn't think of a more striking dichotomy between him and his predecessor, because the Dunn kid was like 6'6" and absolutely immobile, you know, just an absolute statue back there. And is, you know, like you said, it's the complete opposite of this McIlvain kid. So they're going to have to prepare differently than they have over the last couple of seasons for this Northern Iowa team. one guy they won't have to prepare for, and I find this incredibly interesting on a number of levels, is Jalen Reima. And Jalen is an absolute blazer. Never really caught on fully, I don't think, in the offense. Is not necessarily a guy that they, you know, so NDSU really recruited Jalen hard. And I you might have been even in the program while they were doing the recruiting. I'm not 100% sure, but this kid was an absolute track star. I mean, really, really blazed. Sub 22 second, 200. He was a 10.8 100 yard dash guy. I mean, these are legit track numbers. In fact, Reima actually ran track for you and I after running track in high school, but it just wasn't, ever a big time receiver. Doesn't have a plus 400 yard catch season, but definitely was an awesome kick returner and a vertical threat. Anytime you're that fast, you know, you're a vertical threat. While Reima, who's actually the grandson of, I think it's Northern Iowa's play-by-play guy, but if it's their color commentator, don't jump down my throat. Gary Reima is Jalen's grandfather, and Jalen announced this week that he's going to stop playing, that he has played his four games, and he's going to take a red shirt, and he's in the transfer portal. And then, of all the things in the world, Matt Entz, and you all know who that is, Matt Entz and Jalen followed each other on Twitter, which generally means that they are, probably direct messaging. You follow each other, you have the ability to DM, and just would be beyond hysterical if he took his 1 year transfer to head to North Dakota State next year and be a vertical threat for a guy with the arm the size of Trey Lance. So if the center field handshake or the 50-yard line handshake after the game results in a fist fight, you know what happened. I would guess that Reima won't end up at North Dakota State. But at any rate, Farley cannot like this, and nobody likes Farley. So, I don't know. It's an absolutely wild situation. One guy I can about guarantee you North Dakota State will not miss is Marcus Weimiller. Man, he had some awesome games against North Dakota State, and he's gone. He's a guy that scored, I think, twice last year in the game in Cedar Falls, but like I said, was a Bison killer. I mean, Weimiller is a guy that I remember basically in every iteration of NDSU versus UNI in the Easton Stick era. Just a absolutely awesome, awesome football player. And now that he's gone, and this is what I'm trying to finally get to here, Trev. Now that he's gone, a little bit of a struggle. 2.9 yards a carry as a team. That's no bueno. That's not good. And what I think you have to look at is last week. And any time that the North Dakota State defense can make a team one-dimensional, it becomes, in my opinion, a huge, huge problem. The Redbirds of Illinois State could not throw the ball to save their lives, and it basically ended the game. And they had James Robinson. I mean, they had the best back in the country, or one of the best backs in the country, and it was an absolute bloodbath. And so I think the same can be said in the pass game. I think if these guys are absolutely completely unable to run the ball, they're not going to be able to throw it every down and succeed against the Bison either. What do you think, Trev?
With Northern Iowa, I mean, yeah, guys can get hot. I mean, they're still scholarship athletes in the Missouri Valley. So at any point, something could go crazy. Some guys could click, you know, that week in practice, they figure something out. But to me, I'm looking at numbers in the past few weeks. I don't know. They're 34% on third down. I had mentioned earlier their red zone success is not there as far as touchdowns go. I mean, they're getting points all but one time that they've visited the red zone. But if you're not converting on third downs and you're not putting points on the board by getting seven, you're in for a rough night beating NDSU, unless, knock on wood, it's a Indiana State type game where 14 of your 17 points, which somehow ends you with a victory, come from pick sixes. You know, I don't know. I don't see a dynamic of enough offense to come in and put points on the scoreboard to outduel them in that realm. So it's just not a deal where I think you don't have a Marcus Waymiller. You have a redshirt freshman quarterback coming into the Fargo Dome for the first time, albeit he's got a winner's mindset. He's entering a whole new world, and I think he's going to get his welcome to college football moment.
Yeah, that's something that has happened to a number of quarterbacks and frankly college football players in general at the FCS level. That welcome to college football moment does occasionally come at the Thunderdome. But it's a place, you know, that when we've talked about this, it's a place where sometimes NDSU gets a little overconfident, and if they're going to drop a game sometimes, hey, it does actually legitimately happen in Fargo. I don't think it's going to happen this week, but got to keep your head on a swivel for sure. The receivers, I think, in my opinion, would probably be the strength of this offense. I've liked Deion McShane as kind of I'm trying to do a player comp, but sort of a satellite player, just a guy that you get the ball kind of around the line of scrimmage. He's definitely bigger than a Tavon Austin, but kind of like that sort of player where maybe he's not the most developed route runner, but you just want to get the ball in his hands. And that's something that NDSU is actually doing a little bit with Christian Watson as well. But Jalen James and Isaiah Weston are pretty darn good football players in their own right. As I mentioned, you know, kind of a struggle for UNI to run the ball right now. So they're going to lean a lot on the receivers. And then, you know, obviously on Will McElvain. Trev, have you seen enough from NDSU's DBs that this doesn't concern you? Because you see what happened to UC Davis after the North Dakota State game, and you see that, you know, they maybe aren't the world beaters that they looked like when they took NDSU down to the wire, and that was the big issue, was the big play the perimeter threats for the Aggies.
You have McShane, who's 5'9", but then you have they're both 6'4", so they're longer. They're very capable of making big plays, going up and getting it. I mean, anytime you're that long, you're playing Division I football, you probably have decent hands and a decent vertical. So 6'4 receivers can concern you, but you do have some ball hawks and very smart football players on that third level. You know, if there was any sort of liability in that secondary, I think you could find a weak spot to exploit. But again, you got smart guys who put everybody else in the right position at the right time and themselves in the right position at the right time. Then you got a ball hawk and Marquise Bridges and a lot of experience and a lot of football. And I think out of those three guys, out of their top three wideouts, one of them is a senior. The other two are sophomore to junior or something like that. So, I mean, they've played a good amount of ball, but you have James Hendricks, who's a senior, Marquise Bridges, who's a senior. So I think you just have smarter, more experienced football players on the back end, even though if you take in what they look like coming off the bus into an account, yeah, you could have a concern, but it's much deeper than that, obviously. So I think it's something to watch for. I don't think it's something that's going to explode for 300 plus yards passing, though.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's what kind of brings us to where we're going to be on our score predictions. I want to talk about the other side of the ball as well, because this is a group that really struggled to slow down Easton Stick and the offense a year ago. But boy, they've got a stud. Matt Entz mentioned in his press conference that they're kind of in an odd front now, running that 2-4 nickel, the 3-4 stuff that has given NDSU a little bit of trouble, just because a lot of the times the center's covered up or you can't run power as effectively as you can against an even front, or at least it's more difficult. And now they're in year two of the system, and things seem to be clicking. They seem to have either developed athletes better, or you know, just recruited a little bit better for their system. But it's a lot of the same names. One of the names, Ellerson Smith, has been absolutely destructive, and that's a guy. You know, you lose a guy like Ricky Neal Jr., who was a top-notch pass rusher and a top-notch disruptor in the backfield for years for Northern Iowa. And now all of a sudden you've got Ellerson Smith with 7.5 sacks through five games with 10.5 tackles for loss, absolutely living on the other side of the backfield. But, Trev, they've kind of always had really good defensive, even if they're just individual players. Brett McMakin, Carter Schultz. I mean, they've had some absolute studs
on the line. The Farley boys, Xavier Williams, was that his name? DeAndre, I don't even get me started on that dude. That
shoot,
guy,
DeAndre Hall.
Long, buddy. Long. Yeah,
and McKinton Dorliant, he's the one that I think Shep went up over for that touchdown to win the other homecoming game, but McKinton spent a couple copies with the Packers.
And to be quite honest with you, until really honestly this roster, maybe even last year's roster, Northern Iowa had creatures more than we had. I think we were just a more disciplined, more sound, more consistent football team. Northern Iowa, to me, has always been a very good program. Obviously, you can't take that away from them. But they're very streaky. Take 2014, for example, in back-to-back weeks at home, they beat Illinois State and North Dakota State. Those two teams tied for the Missouri Valley Conference title and eventually played each other in the national championship. And they beat them in back-to-back weeks. But they got into the playoffs, and I actually think they got ousted by Illinois State, I want to say. It's just a very streaky program. They always have guys that are very, very talented football players. David Johnson, I think he's a widely recognized name, obviously. But there's just not enough there to stop everything that NDSU has. I just think the preparation is different. I think the expectation to win is different. I think Northern Iowa maybe comes into these games somewhat expecting to win, but having that slight little bit of doubt in their minds. And I can honestly say I didn't go into one game of my college career without knowing, that's the truth, knowing that I was going to win the game. So I think that's the difference. And that stuff goes a long way. And there's definitely a mental hurdle at this point with where NDSU is as a program and Northern Iowa.
Yeah, and, you know, I think they were such a hurdle for North Dakota State to get over, and you were kind of there when the hurdle finally got cleared, because I have to feel like it was just an absolute, you know, just dumbbell set coming off your chest, because Northern Iowa, despite their lack of, you know, national championships and playoff success, I mean, they were the Valley when North Dakota State got in. They were the Missouri Valley Football Conference, or whatever it was called before that, the Gateway maybe. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But they were the conference. And then for NDSU to sort of jump them and become this national power that Northern Iowa never really became, plus you add into the fact that Entz was a Northern Iowa guy. Braun was a Northern Iowa guy. Before that, Chris Kleiman was a Northern Iowa guy. Chris Kleiman played for Northern Iowa. There should be more teeth here. Exactly. Andre Martin. I almost wish there was a little bit more teeth here. I wish that this felt like South Dakota State feels, because I personally am looking ahead, and obviously it doesn't matter what I do. I'm not on the staff. I don't play. I don't have an effect on anything. But my head is in Brookings in 2 weeks and not on this Northern Iowa game that for years was the benchmark, and it's just not anymore. And it'll be interesting. I think honestly, it's exactly what was said about North Dakota. It was exactly what was said about UND. It's going to take a loss to reset things. NDSU is not, this is not going to feel like Northern Iowa, I don't think, until UNI takes something from the Bison, which I don't think is going to be this Saturday, guys. This season, allowing 18 points per game, pretty respectable, but the Bison put up 56 last year in Cedar Falls, and something has to give. How are you seeing this play out, Trevor?
I see it as, I see.
What's the next thing on the list?
I tell you what, I see it as a very lopsided game, and I'll tell you why. And it comes down to two things. Third down conversion, which Northern Iowa's at 34% right now for the season. Not good at all. And I know not everyone's a stat guy or understands like how that stuff works, but 34% on third down is not very good. And you're walking into the Lions' den, and that's not going to get it done. That's not even going to come close. And 50% on touchdown conversions in the red zone. Simply put, you can't trade touchdowns for field goals because they're 13 of 14 on scores. That's not going to get it done in Fargo. This offense is a very, the NDSU side is very, very, very talented. And I do not think that they have hit their stride yet fully. And I think Saturday is the perfect opportunity where you're going to see pieces of it. I don't think it's going to come together fully, but I think you're going to see pieces of it. So I guess I'll go ahead and give my score prediction. I'm thinking it's going to be a 48-7 game.
That's aggressive. I still have North Dakota State outside the line. I think the line was 19. I have them outside the line. I've got it at 38-10, which is still pretty violent, but not exactly where Trev is. And I want to read something here because it kind of shows just how important bringing Trevor on this season was. Because you know what, guys, you're getting an analysis you just can't get anywhere else in the market. He has absolutely nailed this, and this is just a he's been nailing this all season since the second he watched them play in Minneapolis. And this is Craig Birch. This is a sideline reporter for Illinois State. And quote: after Saturday, I think there's a wide gap between NDSU and the rest of the FCS. This team is faster than previous Bison teams. They play at a different tempo. This was the best NDSU team I've seen. They can turn one mistake into a blowout. The national media, I'm not going to speak for the local market, but the national media is talking about how many seniors have left. They're talking about this being a rebuilding year for North Dakota State. And Trev took one look at this team and said, this is the most talented group of kids I've ever seen since I've been a part around the program. And now other schools are starting to notice, and other people are starting to understand just how good this team is. And I mean, I'm like I said, 38-10 against Northern Iowa in a conference game. I normally would not pick a game by four touchdowns, but anytime a team is going to be one dimensional against the Bison, they're going to struggle to score. And I'm not going to take a team that gave up 56 to the Bison last year and, you know, cut that in half. I'm not going to say they're going to score 28, because watch them play offense. They're not an offense that's scoring 28 points, save for, you know, the game against Davis. So I've got 38-10. I think Trevor 42-7 or 48-7. Some just absolute 41-7. All right. Well, that's wild. Hey guys, you know what? We want to thank you. If you've made it this far into the show, we really appreciate you guys sticking around and going all the way to the end with us. As always, the number one way to support Trevor and I in this venture is to become a VIP member over at Bison Report. We have two fantastic deals going for you right now. If you're not real sure about us, you know what? Give us a 30-day trial. It's going to get you through this game. It's going to get you through South Dakota State, and it's a dollar. And you can set, go on your iPhone and set a alert for 29 days to cancel your subscription. Send one email to 24/7, and it's done. Poof, over. and you will be out a dollar. Find me in the tailgate lot. I'll give you the dollar back. Give us a shot for 30 days. Otherwise, if you believe in us, the easiest way, the most economically efficient way is to just get 30% off of an annual membership. You're talking roughly $5-6 a month, and is something that, you know, really allows us to continue to add to the team, create better content for you. I mean, you've seen BRTV. You understand how we are producing cooler and cooler stuff. Hey, it's because of you guys. It's because of the budget. It's because of the support that we get from the best fans in the country. And it's something that really, honestly, from when I took over to where we are now, it almost makes me emotional how well Bison Nation has responded and how important this is to me to continue to kick ass for you guys. Thank you, Trevor, for your time. And, hey, thank you, listeners. And go Bison.